when I was young, and it seemed to be about the same with me, this stuff was very accessible. And when I first got out of high school and went to work in a motorcycle shop, I was really lucky that I worked for a dealer that had been around since the turn of the century when they invented them.
Right.
And he had an employee that worked for him that was in his 70s at the time I worked there. And
mm-hmm.
So I got some really good history all the time I lived there, but that's all there was. There wasn't much else out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't know much about what happened. Even today, people don't know that probably the greatest racing era in America was in the teens and 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Not in our era, because it was our era was we were still left a little bit left over from the Depression, and there wasn't that much money around.
Right.
It naturally evolved by the 70s that things get pretty affluent, and racing started to pay money, and got a little better for the guys.
Do you think a lot of that had to do with the Japanese getting involved in the 70s?
It could have been, yeah.
The reason I say that is because I read one time when Honda came into the market, before that, like the most any of the manufacturers really ever spent on their advertising budget for the year was like $60,000 for the entire year, and it mainly be in motorcycling publications and things of that nature. And here comes Honda spending like $2 or $3 million a year.
Well, yeah, that could have been, but I think even bigger than that was the fact that the American Motorcycle Association, which was not called the American Motorcycle Association for no reason. It was devised and founded to protect American motorcycles from, you know, and American motorcycles were what it was all about.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a real heavy hand on any imported bikes for many, many years, clear into the late 60s.
I see.
Because Harley-Davidson was the only American motorcycle manufacturer left, naturally Harley-Davidson basically controlled racing in America and the rules and the whole thing. But that started to go away by the late 60s, and there was more competition, more even competition, not only from the British, but any Europeans and the Japanese. The Japanese weren't, you know, they were really big in the retail market. They weren't that big in racing for a long time.
Mm-hmm. I found it ironic that year you won Daytona in 1970 for Honda, that they basically just packed their bags and went away. I mean, it seemed like they would have wanted you to race that same bike the rest of the season, you know, on the road race courses. And
they were very commercially oriented. They were only sales oriented. They had no feeling for American sport. Is, you know, what we were doing, it was just a sales campaign, and it had not, it was totally commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the difference. And I don't think it has ever changed for the big manufacturers. I think even today, that's basically all it is an extension of their sales campaign.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that may have been the same for Indian and Harley and Excelsior in their days too. I'm sure, but there was, you know, there was formed in the very early days a real sport in America, and that was motorcycle racing, and it was basically done on dirt tracks.
Right.
And you know, things have changed greatly since then, but I think it's as much to do with the politics of America being involved in the rest of the world. We were totally isolated after the First World War until the mid-60s.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on purpose. But we were totally isolated from the rest of the world. We raced in a different way.
Right.
And under different rules and different conditions than anybody else in the world. But when that started to break up and we got involved in the rest of the world, to me, that is when things really started to blossom.
Mm-hmm.